Off the Ball Rugby.
Pretty incredible. Only Johnny Sexton really could do this. So look, I know he was a de facto coach anyway. You know, I would imagine there's a few coaches out there whose noses are probably out of joint by this.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Kieran McGeaney, how are things?
Good.
It is a must be a busy time. Tight season. A couple of days after the Tyrone Ulster semi-final win. About 10 days ago to the Ulster final, we're chatting. What's life like for you?
It's busy. As you know, I probably wouldn't be doing these things only for the cause behind it, because it's just flat out between training and work and family. Like, it's there's very little time at any stage of the year, but coming up to this time of year, like, it's just it's 17, 18 hours all in. Like,
what are you liking these weeks?
It's a bundle of joy. Just as always.
You roll out that line a lot, but there's a huge pressure there. Like, how do you manage that? How do you keep on the right track of that?
Like, there's loads of different things. I have a good family, a good wife, good kids, just like a lot of support structures in place that allow me to do things that need to be done. I have a good group of players, great backroom team, good county board. So all of those things make a big difference, in terms of preparation and stuff like that. Like, so it's no different than everybody else. Like, Jim will be going through the same. Joyce are the same. Everybody's in that boat. They're just trying to do as much as they possible can, making sure no stone's left unturned, and trying to make sure that the prep going into it's as good as it can be.
Saturday in Clonus, I'm not going to ask you did you enjoy it, but coming through a battle like that is phenomenal. What did you take from it? What was the biggest thing you took from that game?
I shouldn't kick any flags, probably the biggest one. I was disappointed in myself. I took the bait. I can't control certain decisions and almost cost the team, and that would have been unforgivable in my book. So,
did you know that you were going to be stung for a?
I didn't know. Like, I suppose, but not saying anything, but assaulting the flag is seen as a dissent too. Like, so.
Yeah, well, the cameras hadn't caught it, but I suppose at that stage, he had been in control. Tyrone had got a bit of a run, and he. There was a few things maybe happening in the game and you'd lost momentum.
Yeah, listen, you can't go into decisions because, like, everybody's a different perspective. Like, you have a bias when you look at it. So there's not much point in going into those sorts of things. Like, Malik will see it one way, I'll see it another, and David Goff will see it, another way. So, but I suppose, everybody's heard my thing in that. Like, it does come down to opinions, and I don't think it's good to have rules like that. But listen, everybody's in the same boat, so there's not much point in me cribbing about it. But it was tight, and it ended up, it worked in our favour in terms of the boys were so cool and calm, and they were able to sort of deal with the pressure of it, and that's a good thing to learn. Like, and I'm sure Malachy's thinking the same. Like, they were under pressure, they were five or six down, they came back, so I suppose there's learnings in it for everybody.
Yeah, we would have spoken the odd time last year throughout that journey to Sam Maguire, and a kind of conversation that kept coming up was the depth that you had developed in your squad. The depth is one thing, right, and players maybe coming in off the bench or pushing lads in AVB games, but a lot of those lads that possibly weren't starting last year really stood up at the weekend. And I just wonder, in terms of being a manager and seeing that constantly coming, like, Callum O'Neill has nearly come out of nowhere for anyone who doesn't know Armagh football, to have two brilliant performances. Tomás McCormick's been brilliant in your league, Darren McMullen, but even the likes of Jarley O'Byrnes and Ross McQuillan having huge plays in big moments from the start. That's a big thing.
Yeah, but it's not really down to me. It's down to them. Sometimes, depending on the year that's in it, I make mistakes too. Like, you're not always picking the right people. They have to have patience again. Like, when it comes down to picking teams, their opinions as well. Like, they're all the top players in their own club. Like, but you see it in every county. You see the likes of Jamie Brennan coming on for Donegal. Like, and just loads of people think he could start. And it's like that in a lot of teams. Like, Dublin have it, like Kerry have it, and you're trying to make the right calls. And sometimes in the modern game, you're finishing with a stronger team than you're starting with, and depending on who you're playing with, all of those sorts of things. But I suppose I don't really buy into the genius gobshite type of thing. Like, if you win, you're a genius, and it's all down to players. I believe the same when I was playing. When you cross the white line, you're the man in charge of it. Like, and we rely totally on what their intent is and what they want to do. So, a lot of the time we get a lot more credit than we deserve. Like,
there's an element to that too, but we're in Cannonbridge, and I'm going to ask you to explain why we're here and where Cannonbridge is and what it is to Armagh football. But fostering a culture, and it's a buzzword that gets thrown out, but there's a lot that goes into that too. There's a lot of years, there's a lot of sliding doors moments. keeping people on side is a big thing. Having the right people around you is an even bigger thing.
Yeah, but I suppose I've gone through it. Now, like, dude, like, you know yourself, like, you've asked me to do loads of these, and I wouldn't do it. And the reason is because I'm not good on the media side of things. So, but
I don't know if that's the reason, is it?
It's a, this is a big part of it. Like, it's, but I think, you know, the cause that we're here for is big with me, like, in terms of the future. There's a lot of things done for me growing up, and, you know, when I was underage with Mullaban, and then, like, underage with Armagh, and certain people, like, looking out for you and trying to help that pathway for you, like, when there wasn't really a development pathway, like, in place. And now we do, like, and we're in Callum Bridges, which is the same place I trained in, and, you know, it's a lovely day today and the grass looks green, but I can assure you it's very rarely that the grass is green on this side, because it's normally just a mud bath. Like, we have one pitch basically for all our teams, and you know, we should be in a better place, but we're not. And, you know, like, one of the things, like, we're trying to do today is highlight the fact that, like, you know, win with Armagh, like, it's a draw, like, it's, you know, getting tickets and stuff like that, and every time you buy a ticket you think, you know, it's to me, it's buying future. Like, the thing that sits with me most is, like, Aisling McConnelly, when we played, was it Wicklow, maybe won my first championship games in the back door after Donegal had beat us in the championship. Like, I remember Kane coming on, like, my oldest son. Like, but I found out last year, like, you know, Connolly was around the same age, you know, he was about 11 or 12 back then, like, and, like, there's a child just looking up, like, at his intercounty players, like, and, you know, 10 years later, he's the person, like, helping them across the line. And, like, you know, you want more for those young people. Like, you know, you want something that they're proud of, like, to take part in, like, and, you know, training and aspire to. And I think it's important for our county. And I don't mean just for winning, but, like, for taking part and for a bigger thing for the clubs, just to have, like, that sort of centre of excellence within what we do. And that's what we're here today, you know, I suppose, to showcase that, that we want to take that next step in delivering that. Like, and we can't do it without everybody behind us.
We're going to have a wee walk around here, and I think people will be surprised that maybe, I'm going to use the word basic, the facilities are, but, like, sometimes facilities can be basic and you can do great things from it. Like, you've proven that, you know, in All-Ireland in 02, the Ulster titles your team won. This team now have won an All-Ireland title. What they do next is up to ye and the players, but, like, you've done great things with very little here to work with. Like, I know clubs around the country that have challenges with all their underage teams and maybe camogie teams and football teams and hurling teams fighting over the one pitch, but this is all Armagh have to work with, really, isn't it?
Yeah. But back in 02 when we started this here, I think it was it was a Brian McLendon we first came here. It was good fun. I remember actually coming here one of the nights in 2001, was it? And it was the first year of the back door system when he actually locked the front door. So we had to go in the back door. He says, "You boys aren't good enough to go in the front door." But that was Brian, like, you know, challenge you, like, you know, on those sorts of things. So it's here a long time, and it was unique back then. There wasn't that many. Mm. Like, we're having the own training ground. You had your county ground, and you probably used it. But then, like, when Joe came in, like it took another step. We remember our gear in there, like, and getting our gear washed, and, like, we had our gear here for some things. But in the meantime, like, academy squads are now part and parcel of everyday life. Like, you know, you're minor, you're under 20s, and then you have your hurling. Like, and regardless of whether, like, you know, it's a football or hurling county, it you know, it stands for both. And you know, so you've, like, that amount of teams going. So we were really the only team that was using it back then. But now you have
the women's team as well, yeah, chasing a double header in Clonus and Tullamore.
Integration, but they actually have their own pitch down in Killian. Like, they probably have a better setup than we do. But, like, a couple of years ago, like, this was even in more state of repairs. If you sort of see around, this is it done up. So it is. But 5 or 6 years ago, it was, like, dilapidated. Like, we had a sponsor, like, came in and helped us out. Like, he just said, like, what would make the biggest difference? And I said, just the boys actually being able to change without falling through the floorboards and have a shower. And he says, right. So, and he helped us out. Like, and stuck this mural up on the side of it here just to remind them, like, that it's still, like, regardless of what you have, you still should be proud of it, and that, you know, you have to stand for something. You stand side by side by whatever it is. So, listen, we're not in the same places as the other teams, but we're hoping to get there.
Yeah, we might talk a little bit more about St. Malachy's and Portadown and what you're trying to do there when we get over there. We're going to take a little walk over to the pitch here and see where all the action happened in Callum Bridge. So, Kieran, murder ball is a phrase I've heard thrown around about Armagh training back in the days. Can you talk us a bit through that, and does it still hold a bit of relevance nowadays?
No, you're not allowed to sense that anymore. Brian had a different one. Brian was, I'd sort of changed the Armagh sort of mindset back then. He wanted players to play for Armagh, like, you know, he wanted to be proud of Armagh. And you know, we've heard of the 10,000-hour rule, you know, for mastery. Brian took the old sort of, I think, sort of Soviet Union sort of look at it, like the 10,000 egg syndrome. Like, so we threw 10,000 eggs against the wall and see the 20 that didn't break.
See what stuck.
See who wouldn't break. Like, so he pushed us hard back then, and like, whatever we got on a Sunday was a lot less than what we got like on a Tuesday and a Thursday. So, and then we had two Ulsters with him, looking back to back, and then we've been unlucky in 2001, and then Joe came in 2002 and took it on another step, and Grimbo came in with Joe, and the two of them, like, you know, Joe was a sort of good cop and Grimbo was the bad cop. They were a good partnership, like, but Murderball then was sort of introduced with Paul. Like, he was definitely a different character. Like, it was a little manga we were in. I remember it was a thunderstorm, like, and all the forwards rushed in to sit in the dugout, and it was lightning coming around, and Grimbo turned around and was like, "What? You know, just stay out there and tackle the shit out of each other." So, yeah, like, listen, over the years, I've had a lot of people, you know, that were good influences on me, like the two Brians, let's say, back then, and, you know, Joe and Paul. And
Paul comes up a lot in your story, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, Paul's a good man. Like, me and him are still good mates.
Did he play? Was he still there in the early 90s, or am I wrong with that?
Well, I started in 89.
Yes.
So
you're only in school at that stage.
It was only my sixth year, so another year of school to do.
Yeah.
But we had played Tyrone in the minors. Myself and Peter were actually marking each other that day.
Peter Cannavale.
Yeah, and they were, what do you call it, like, they were expected to win the, I'm sure he'll remind me of all the times, like, that he's beat us, but we won that day. Damien Horace was captain. He's a good friend of mine. Like, he played for us for a good few years. It was quite poignant, because at that stage, year before, when I played minors, a fella called Fergal McConville, he'd been Dee's best friend. Like, he caught cancer shortly, you know, after those minor years, and he died in 84. So, like, it was different sort of back then, like, and just all the things were happening in the young sort of team. But when I got on to the seniors after that game, like, at half time, I think it was a few of the Tyrone and Armagh boys had a bit of a disagreement in the tunnel, and for some unknown reason, somebody thought it was a good idea that, like, as a start to the new year in September, like, Tyrone and Armagh should play each other on their lights behind closed doors.
Oh.
So that was my first introduction. We actually played Meath in the first game of challenge game.
I was trying to figure that out, because there was a couple of challenge games. But
Meath was the first one, and then Tyrone was the second one.
And that was the Meath team of 89,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
I like, they were tough. I remember running to Martin O'Connell, and there was a wooden bench along the side of it. Like, all I can remember is I ran into him, and I was on the other side of the wooden bench. Like, when I looked up, but that particular night, like, the ball was thrown up, and they decided to reacquaint themselves with each other. But myself, Peter, Rally Reel, Adrian Cush, just were sort of
hiding in the corner.
Benny sort of sitting looking at everybody having a good time. Like, so yeah. It was a big introduction. And then my next first game was against Donegal up in Ballybuffet. I came on for some unknown reason. They were trying me as a forward back then. So, like, that was 89-90, and then the 1991, but it was 92 before. So
debut in 92.
Yeah. Six stitches and an AC joint and concussion, all in the one.
All in the one.
All in the one.
I was going to ask you to go through a list of them all over the next 35 years, but I might leave that one for another day. We might be here for a while.
Yeah.
But I had a question then so you make the championship debut in 92. I have a couple of questions here on this. Between 1993 and the end of 93 and the start of 99, when you win that first Ulster as your team, Armagh go through a period where they win just two Ulster games in that kind of 6-year period. Yeah. Later on, 20 years later in your management career, you go through a similar enough pattern where I think it's between 2015 and 21, you might win two games in Ulster. Now, obviously, there's a back door back then, but there's no back door in the 90s. So how did you pull it together or deal with it? Or were they lost years for you, those years?
Well, it depends. As a young man, no, because you went to play your summers in America, live life a wee bit and enjoy it. Where was it? In Boston for a few years, in Chicago as well. Like, and I was going through college at the time, so, you know, it was definitely giving you sort of, was it pocket money for the year and stuff like that. So.
But are you still obsessed?
Oh, yeah.
Are you still working towards?
Probably, like, it's what you think is obsessed until you meet somebody then else. And like each time it's layered. Like I got very friendly with Anthony Toll. And we actually met each other over in Boston. Was it 91? He was playing for Kerry, I was playing for Shannon Blues. And then it ended up in the same civil engineering class. It was actually himself and Paul Brewster, myself in the same civil engineering class. Okay. And so myself and Anthony still good mates.
You obviously would have played international rules and Ulster Radio Cup.
I went to management team to Australia too. Like, listen, he's an incredible fella. Like, I'd still be very close to him. But he was coming back from Australia. Like, and, you know, I thought I was training then. And then I seen him and... You know, like, so we hung about together and I learned a lot from him. And like at that stage, Derry were, you know, sort of themselves and Donegal and Down, like, were really good. Like, even though Armagh wasn't too bad at that time, too, 1990, that our first championship, even though it didn't make the squad, like, you were with them. Like, we got beat by Donegal in the Ulster final that year. Only Ross's father was playing.
Yeah.
And I helped Donegal because I ran into Martin in the playing phase and dislocated his shoulder, like, so. And he was playing extremely well for us, yeah, the Wednesday before it.
Oh.
So they didn't help our cause back.
You were obviously fighting for your place, were you?
I was, like, but now, like, I was a big team. Like, I'm a child, like, at that stage. I just turned 18. Like, as I say, still doing my A-levels at school. Well, my mum would argue that I wasn't doing too much towards my A-levels, but, like, you had the two Grimleys, like, Mark and John. Like, you had Martin McQuillan, Kieran McGurk, God rest them. You know, you had some serious big men, tough men too. And back then it was a tough game. Like, even that Down team in 91, 94 were big, big fellas. Like, and it was hard hitting.
Ulster were winning all around them around that time. So when it got to All-Ireland.
Yeah, Derry, you were an exceptional team at the time. And like Down, same thing. And Donegal was sort of in the mix with that. And so like it was tough to make any type of breakthrough. Like, if you got past one, like, you were looking at another the whole time.
So what clicks? Like, is it here on the field in Cannon Bridge? Is it, I know you've cited that 92 All-Ireland minor win inside that had Marsden in it, that had fallen short against, I think, Meade in that final. I've mentioned Meade a few times here already, yeah, I won't do it anymore. Right. But like, what was it that clicks then for 99? Is it a different generation that comes through?
I think it's just the change of mindset. You know, like, you see it all over the place, like, if somebody can come in and change that mindset. But you need people to buy into it. It's very hard, isn't it? There's good footballers in every county. There's no doubt about that. But there are cultural differences between each county, and that has a big impact on how far they're willing to go and how far they're willing to push. And as I said, sometimes you think you're training, and then the controls around training, I think, like, are, because, like,
what do you mean?
It's just when you can do pre-season, when you can't, and all this sort of stuff. Like, it's as if the people who are, like, running, it's not me, like, you know, but like the S&C coaches and people, like, but like, they know way better than anybody else. Like, nobody wants to be flogging players anymore. Like, we did back then. Like, back then, you were back in August, September, October, 3 months of pre-season.
Laps.
For three games before Christmas. Then there was a whole, like, you know, drinking culture, and the next thing you'd go again, like, you're going for December, January, February for four games. And then you had 12 weeks. I remember 12 weeks before we played in our championship game, and 12 weeks, like, 10 of it was running. So it's funny how people come up now and they've all of this really good stuff. But back then, and I was there going, it was horrible. Like, you never got to kick footballs and stuff like that. But that was just the way, because everybody did it. Like, you know, Kerry had said that sort of thing. Like, you had to be fit and strong and all that sort of stuff. So, I loved the way of training. I'd love to be back at it now, because, like, it's all football. Like, I'd say to your pre-season, like, and, you know, again, I don't think we were given enough time for it this year, but
yeah.
I'd say that there. And we have people giving out now about the season, oh, there's too many good games. But I think no matter what we do in Ireland, you know, it's a bit like the weather. We always like to give out a bit. You know, same with our championship system. Like, we have a brilliant one in place, and we're changing it again. Like, so, you know, but you have to roll with these punches, don't you?
So, we mentioned the murder ball, right?
Yeah.
What do you think of when you think of your own training here back in the days? Is there certain players that you love to tussle with on a training game, or fellas that ran away from you, or what was the story?
I only ever went to pick up one person every training session.
Who?
Dermot.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
If I could mark him, I felt I could use easily our best. Like, it's funny how, again, like, history moves on and some people keep their name and some people don't. Dermot was an exceptional talent. He could have played number 2 or 15. He's the best tackler we had, best blocker. You know, he was balance on the ball, he could have played rugby or soccer. He's a great player, great temperament too, because we used to kill each other, so we did. Like, he was very strong, could handle himself too. Like, so it was always a good thing. But like, if I just knew if I could handle him, I could handle anybody. Like,
Can you see that in when you're trying to build a team? And I know you've spoken before about when you first came back to Armagh, the maybe 15 to 17 period was tough for a lot of different reasons. We might get into that after. But when you're trying to build a team to get to where you want to get to, can you see that in them? Can you see the character stuff that you're looking for? Can you also see yourself when you were maybe in 89, 90 and you're nowhere near where you are in 02? Can you see that?
Oh, yeah, like it's building blocks. And then what people sort of perceive you to be is a big part of it. Like, and I suppose that's why, like, you have managers like McGuinness and Galvin and Desi now, in fairness to him too, with Jack O'Connor. Like, they're able to, I suppose, get into players' heads and make them believe that, you know, this is what's needed. And understanding what's needed is a lot different, I think, like in reality than what people perceive it to be. It's like the man of the match thing, like who has the most free kicks and who plays well in the last 5 minutes.
Sometimes, yeah.
85% of the time. Like, it's, you know, the heartbeat of the teams, the people who make them tick, like are always the sort of difference. But we don't know how to measure Gaelic football.
What do you mean by that?
But like, how do you measure like an all-star?
I there's a big waiting on All-Ireland semi-finals and finals. Like, of course there is. Yeah, there is. But no, I think it's slightly changing. I'm saying that as somebody who's on the panel. It, like, but yeah, no.
It depends who wins it.
Did you think Stephen Campbell deserved an all-star this year? In terms of measuring impact on Gaelic football.
But without knowing everybody else's stats. So like the thing is, like, if you take it, like my point would be, so if you take Petr Morgan and like what he does. So, like, you know, you've seen him there against Darry Canavan, like, in the thing, like, and he was able to do it, like, but, you know, how many interceptions, how many fist passes, how many assists, like, what do you measure?
Mm. I'd say that a lot of it is an eye test. A lot of it is probably, there's a lot of people in a room is what I'd say to you, so you probably have people coming at it from different perspectives. There will be people I know from the room last year that would have a very analytical, statistical outlook on it, and others that wouldn't.
It's not an analytical or statistical thing. It's how effective somebody is.
Yeah,
that's ultimately what it boils down to. Same whether it's a goalkeeper. What is it that like you're looking for? And it doesn't make the headlines and everything else. And I'm not picking holes, but I'm just saying, like in rugby, like we can measure Paul O'Connell the same way as we measured Brian O'Driscoll, but we know he's good at his role, and we know Brian O'Driscoll's good at his role. But like, we don't sort of say, well, Paul O'Connell didn't score as many tries or didn't look as flashy as Brian. Like, you know, but we know how to measure them.
So does this feed into team selection for you? Like, when I'm looking at the Armagh team and the options that you have, there's one man I think of who has possibly the biggest play in the All-Ireland final last year at the very end of the game, who probably doesn't tick the box in terms of kicking frees or kicking points, but Joe McElroy has that block. Like, are you measuring McElroy's impact? How are you measuring that? How are you choosing him as the man?
Depends what role you give him. So, like, if it is he marking somebody, is he playing in the transition? Like, you know, that's what I'm sort of saying. Like, in the modern game, like, when the ball is thrown up, that is the only time cornerbacks and corner forwards exist. That's the only time.
Do you think that's going to change now?
It's changed 25 years ago.
Do you think it's going to change again now with the three up?
We noticed that. Like, you know, your players who are being brought back into the game because they couldn't transition up and down.
Mm.
But we regard them as good players. But the boys that could transition up and down, we regard, like, no. Like, I remember listening one day on the TV, so saying, like, a particular player was going back. Look at how good players, like, you know, running back there to tackle. Like, they shouldn't be doing that. I was thinking, that's a great thing to tell our kids. Don't work hard in life. Like, you know, just stay up there and let everybody else work for you.
That irks you.
But it's, like, it doesn't happen in any other sport. Like, you know, I was chatting to somebody there recently in soccer and he said the same. Like, he says, we'd like one-on-one situations too, Kier. We'd love that. Like, just three up. Like, just, I was like, it's like there's 11 back for us as well. Like, so, listen, but everybody likes it. So, and to me, because I love Gaelic football, I'm happy. Like, I genuinely am. Like, I'm not knocking a bit. Like, as I said before, started, like, the rules are already there. We just never implemented them.
Some of them were, do you think? Yeah,
all of them, bar the tap and go. Like, I don't know, like, the 2 points, like the scoring system, no, but like everything else was there. Like, just descent. Somebody stands in front of a free kick, you're supposed to move it up. Like, what we did was, like, somebody stands in front of a free kick and you took it all, you're not in the spot, give the ball back to the other team.
Yeah. If those things are implemented now, I think it probably will clean things up a little bit too, won't it?
But why didn't we implement them before?
Sure, isn't it Ireland? Like, isn't that the way we operate with a lot of things? Like,
as I say, this is the problem when I start talking. It sounds if I'm giving it, I like it. There's a huge positivity around the games now, and that's the most important thing. That's definitely the most important
thing. You've been very clear on the feeling that we have a PR problem with Gaelic football.
Yeah.
And I think you've alluded to some of it there.
Yeah, but even simple things, like some of the stuff that we see at the weekends, like the 10 best players.
Yeah, you've mentioned that before, yeah.
You know, my kids are growing up now and they love football, and they get all sorts of stuff sent to their phones. And you just love to see, more of the GAA stuff, the good stuff. And I agree, I know everybody will tell me that's what people like to see, the scores, and they do. So, you want to see the Michael Murphy scores, you want to see the Conor Callans, you want to see the David Cliffords. I'm not denying that. And they're sweet moments, when you see some of those things. But, it's like everything. Basketball is the same. They have all of the best dunks, but they have all the best defence and all of that sort of stuff. So I just think, but we're afraid probably to make superstars. We're all sitting on the fence.
Well, that's a shame. We want stars. Yeah, you'd be happy to hear that Paddy Anders and James O'Donoghue went straight for Ross McQuillan's turnover and Derek Hannigan as their play of the game. That was huge for you.
Yeah.
Would Toronto gone 3-0 in that game?
Ross McQuillan won us the All-Ireland and everybody missed that one.
Go on.
And the last thing, rain had slowed down and he didn't know what to do, and the next thing he just threw the ball and the Galway man got it, but Ross threw himself into it and fisted it to Jarley Hogue. Now, I'm not saying because there was no hooter that the whistle wouldn't have been blown at that particular stage, but experience would tell me that they might have got another chance. So I remember saying it to Ross afterwards, Ross, great pace, great player, and all that sort of stuff. But it's funny, the thing that won it was just pure throwing your body on the line. But people miss that one. It's a bit everybody says, Galway missed a lot. And I'm looking back at the game going, we had put 2-3 goal chances at the end. I know we went for points, but we all see what we want to see, and that's including myself. I'm not blind to that, because when I watch a game the second time around, third time, and even with my things and fouls and they'll go against, there's times you see you're well off the mark and well wrong, it's the same flawless. You watch a game without the emotion, it's a completely
different
watch. But listen, the emotion is what we all watch it for.
Well, it's the feeling it gives you.
Yeah, that's we love sport because we can give out about it. We have opinions and we can sit and we can chat, and that's probably one of the biggest things about the GAA that we all love. Somebody goes to Clonus next week, they might be giving each other abuse, but the crowds are all mixed and there'll be a bit of bad words, but they'll all be sitting having pints or walking down the street afterwards and all those sorts of things.
How old were you in September 2002?
I was 30.
30.
I was coming 31.
The Paul O'Connell speech in the Lions gets mentioned a lot, but there's really grainy, I don't know who is filming the documentary, but there's really grainy YouTube footage of you in a huddle in Croke Park talking to the lads seconds before the game starts. Do you remember what you said?
Oh, yeah. I got actually reminded about that recently, about just go for the ball your life depended on it, the first ball, because that sets the tone, or it was back then.
Can you hear, I got chills listening to the noise in the stadium on a grainy YouTube footage during the week listening to it. Can you hear that moment?
Every player is different. There's some players who love that, they love looking around the crowd, and I'm a big believer in, see, whatever floats your boat, knock it out of the park. You do whatever you have to do. Coming up, I used to think as a player everybody had to prepare like me or do something, but I don't anymore. We have players TK is a good example of it, big, strong fella, but he'd be walking around the changing rooms dancing, but wouldn't the cross TK, but you wouldn't think, he's just dancing away, doing a wee world of his own, and you have other fellas sitting in the corner doing visually. Everybody has their own way of preparing, everybody's their own way of playing. And my thing is it just whatever makes you effective.
But I suppose there has to be a foundation there.
Foundation comes from working hard. There's no team out there that is good. We all know the stories, and there's myth and magic in every story, but the reality is that if you want to exist at the top level in any sport, anything, the things that you have to turn up is you have to have your fitness working, you have to have your strength, all of that stuff. The better player will always win, the better technical, the better skillful, but only when they're in a match, physically fit wise as well. But we see the difference that Jim has made, in terms of physical fitness. Now they had that under Bonner as well, but he's brought them to a different level. Dublin were the same. People forget about Dublin that era, they were
physically
the big men. you know, like, you know, the walk easy, like, but they don't play. Like, James McCarthy, like, was, you know, an absolute dog. Like, you know, he's the one person everybody wanted on their team. Like, you know, we didn't hit the headlines, but if you ask most managers, you know, and then you had Fenton too, like, again, like, looks sort of, like, you know, lean and stuff, but big unit. Dermot Connolly was an absolute machine. Like, you know, he could play a ball too. Like, so
you can't fake that.
No.
That whatever, it's a bit of granite in the body, but it's also,
but people talk about those fellas as if they don't put the walk in. Like, it was the same with Morris Fritz in my time. Like, you know, people were sort of saying, oh, you had to be nice to Morris Fritz. Yeah, like, a bit like a tank, so he was, he'd kill you. No, he walked easy, but again, like, it was, and there was a Brian Carty talking about it one day, and he was slagging me for doing something. I says, did I? Yeah, like, says, Morris did it to me. Like, and like, he, very witty fella.
Was he?
Yeah, extremely, but like, tough man. Like,
you'd have marked him a few times up.
Yeah, but like, big. Like, he's 6'4". Like, you know, he rode across oceans for fun. Like, and, you know, he was extremely physical. Like, and, but the best players are. I mean, like, even like Peter, like, in his, like, his palm too, like, he might have been small, like, but, you know,
robust.
Well, he could, does it, listen, he, let's say he could use his leverage very well, like, you know.
We're actually going to head over to St. Malachy's in Portadown. You're going to show us around the new facility that you're trying to build in Armagh. It's a big thing for the future of Armagh football. I've heard you say before that apart from that team between 99 and 2008 that won maybe 7 Ulster titles, you've got a great team in the 50s, a great team in the 70s, picking up a few along the way, but that's it in 130 years. Like,
it's basically three teams, and it's, and I know people sort of say they can poetic license, but they're seeing it from the outside. I know what's sitting in the things, like, you know, the team that we won in 99, like, maybe you have a few differences in 2004, but it was basically the same team, like, so it's, you know, it's the same back then, like, 70s to the early 80s, and
yeah,
50s, like, listen, that's, and that's the reality for, like, a county our size. You know, it's just whether we like it or not, like, you know, we punch above our weight a lot of the time.
All right, well, we'll pick up over in St. Malachy's. Thanks, Kieran. So, Kieran, we're in Cannonbridge. We're standing in the future now. Where are we here?
Yeah, we're just in the outskirts of Portadown. So, it used to be St. Malachy's Club, and over now going forward, it'll be the future of all our young footballers and hurlers as well. So, we're just looking around here. We're just not used to that much green grass where we train, like, but yeah, like, it's starting to take shape, and but like everything else, it's about the bills, and you hate taking it back to it. And as I said earlier, I wouldn't even be doing this, only that I think it's, what do you call it, such a, it's a strong thing for all of us, and not just for the team that's present now, but like those under 17s that got to the All-Ireland final this year, like, but those under 13s, under 14s, like, you know, maybe like Cian, Di, my own kids, you know, you want, what do you call it, like, the future to be something that they can, you know, go to, like, and change without maybe putting their foot through the floor and things like that. So, yeah, like, it's starting to take shape, but we just have such a long way to go.
Yeah. One of the, and look, facilities in the GAA and gated games is a huge topic. There's a lot of talk about shared sporting facilities, and that's probably a conversation for another day, but right here you can kind of feel the potential. You're going to have a number of pitches. You're going to have a brilliant and a beautiful gym. It's going to look amazing. But one of the things you're doing is you're trying not to enter the red in Armagh. You're trying to actually build it on a phased process as well. That's pretty important, because a lot of counties, for want of a better phrase, are nearly choked by the debt that they've landed themselves.
Yeah, well, it's difficult. Look, you know, we've been able to get ourselves out of that over the last, you know, 10 years. We were in debt, like, you know, quite a bit, and just trying to get, like, different people come in. But again, we've had ASAE and Strain coming in. We've Patrick McCann, like, who was instrumental actually in securing the land for us here, like, with Simply Fruit. We've Barry McAllister with Boxit, and, you know, Patrick McGillisky, like, they have all been very instrumental in putting us on a good footing. But the problem was for us now that we couldn't access any, like, grants for this thing, like, elsewhere, especially down south. There's grants and there's availability of money for, like, structural things like this here. And the north there was, but we weren't successful at any of them, and so, like, you know, we find ourselves, like, with a £10 million project and trying to get through it, but, like, we still think we can, and, like, we had a very successful draw last year, but with Win Armagh, like, and again this year we're trying to get the same sort of thing, like, and it's, you're not looking a lot from everybody, but you are looking a bit from everybody, you know what I mean, like, so it's like buying these tickets is a huge part to building, like, the draw, like, and to making the money to sustain another year. And then we get in the next year and we go again. And it's, but I think if everybody gives a little, then it saves us to try and find us to ask one or two people for a lot.
Yeah.
But there's so many things that it can help us with. in terms of, you know, like where we play, who we play, and how we play. But I think also too that it's just good that, like, you know, we're moving with all the other counties. I know, albeit like we're a wee bit smaller, but I still think it's important to show that, like, you know, we're keeping along with everybody else.
Yeah, you've trained in football pitches all over the place. I'm sure you played football in loads of different countries. Well, you mentioned America, Australia, definitely seen Middle East tours back in the day with the All-Stars. In terms of gyms and training, there's not a black eye there, but there's definitely a couple of scratches on the face. The Monday release in your jiu-jitsu gym is a big thing.
Yeah, still. Yep, still. Like, this morning I was with Callum and Seb. Look, try to get full work if I can. We were training last night, so sometimes it helps skip things. I just like it. I think it's a very skillful sport too. But it's like chess. You have to think everything that seems like there's no way out of, there is. So I enjoy it. I do really enjoy it. Like, try to keep the calories down as well. Like, so.
Does it help with the head?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Like, it helps also with a wee bit of empathy. Like, you know what it's like, you know, the push and to train and understand, like, just some of the places people find, like, you know, jiu-jitsu, when you're in a tough spot, like, you have to relax and be able to breathe your way out of it. So, yeah, but it's funny, no matter, like, what do you do? Somebody has something, like, smart to say about it. You know, it's sport for me. Like, it's not that. Like, it's not anything other than that. Like, it's a race, but...
Yeah.
Some of the commentary I'll get, like, from the sideline, like, would lead you to believe, like, I've them all training at it or something, but I suppose that's part and parcel of it.
You obviously brought the Kildare boys in for a bit of training back in the day.
Yeah, but that was just something different. Like, we love the white-collar boxing bands.
The photos from that are brilliant. Who did you fight that night?
Well, I fought twice. Alan Barry, the first one, he was one of the players. And then the second, he was an Irish Ranger fella. Like, so,
did you win? I think there's a bit of blood in your face, but you do win.
That wasn't mine.
It wasn't that?
No.
The Kildare days, like I mentioned earlier on, synchronicity between the, when I say synchronicity because maybe it meant nothing, but the kind of the Armagh follow period in the 90s where you hadn't won games as a player before you won those Ulsters, and then you have the first couple of years of your reign as an Armagh manager where there's probably a lot of noise about the fact that you hadn't won a game in Ulster for a couple of years. But with Kildare football, how did that shape you as a manager into what you are today? Because we mentioned sliding doors moments with penalty shootouts, but there's a bloody width of a crossbar. There's a Benny Coulter in the square. There's a free that shouldn't have been against poor Andrew McLaughlin. Like, there's these moments too where, I suppose that's sport as well, but does that help along the way?
You know, probably the biggest one was Donegal. Jim, like, Kevin Casty scored what?
11.
Left. Like, he'd missed one just beforehand, and I think he nearly hit the corner flag and the second went over. It's just the way things are. Like, it's, I probably don't lend myself to get the lion's share. I'm told that I don't play the game very well, but my answer to that is always, if you're playing a game, to have people side with you, it sounds really bad for them. That,
who's telling you that?
Nearly every successful manager I've ever talked to, that, you know, there's a game within the game, but, you know, I suppose you are who you are, and you try and look at that. Like, it's, I think I can still get better at what I do. Like, in management, I can get much better, but just, like, in terms of my own character, my personality, like, you know, I have a tendency to rub people the wrong way, and I just have to maybe get a wee bit better at, as I say, playing that political game. I don't think I will.
I don't think you will. I don't know why you're saying that. You are who you are, sure.
Yeah, I know.
But surely you've grown over the years. Like, I know you're all about marginal gains. I've heard you talk about this before, and the little things all adding up. Like, that's a big thing for you as well.
Yeah, but it's a big thing for everybody. Like, you know, you take who we're going to play. Like, if Jim has talked before about the, like, how meticulous he is in terms of what he goes after, and Gavin was the same. Like, Joe Jack's different in terms of how he does it in Kerry, but it's more or less the same sort of thing again. And you just, everybody has their own way of doing it. Like, Joyce has been unbelievable in doing that. Like, in terms of how he's added to Galway year on year. You know, like, some of the players to have, like, you know, that he's unearthed, and, like, you know, Maher at the minute, like, is the heartbeat of that team. Like, he's phenomenal the way he's playing for them. Like, and he has Comer and Shane Walsh, like, you have to hit, like, full thing. Like, and, you know, you've turned infinity. Like, you know, you see what he's built over the years. And so, like, we're all trying to do the same thing. Like, some of us are playing catch up some days, and other days we're not. Like, but as I said earlier, I don't buy into the thing. Like, I suppose we're more facilitators than anything else. And it's funny, over the years you see all of these things, and as you know,
everybody blames it on the sub editor. Oh, he just pulled up it out of it, Kieran, like, you know. And like, we live in a world of clickbait and things, like, and so you're seen as this particular type of person, and like, you know, that's not you, but it's, again, it's part of the game within the game. I remember, who do you call him? That editor or director.
You're thinking of Guy Ritchie.
Guy Ritchie, playing the, like he said, like, you know, he says, don't hate the player, hate the game. And he said, no, you can't hate the game, you have to love the game, because that's the game you're in. And sometimes I find that hard to remember.
Yeah.
You know? So it was, and again, but I still think you shouldn't have to kiss somebody's ass to get fair play.
Yeah.
That's one thing I definitely don't think you should do. And, you know, but like, you have to, you have to play within the same rules as everybody else, and you can't expect special treatment. So,
you've mentioned a couple of players there in from other counties, right? And Maher and Finnerty and Comer, and we were speaking about a few Armagh lads earlier. What are the little things that you're looking for in a raw footballer that's come into you, and you're thinking long term? What are you looking for?
It's probably a whole lot of different things, you know. The character's an overused sort of thing, but it's important, like, you know. A good indicator was Sean Biden actually said to me, like, you know, if you wouldn't like to mark him, but you love to play along with him, like, you know. So there's players there that are playing against you, and you might think, oh, they're dirty gets and they get away with murder and stuff, but you still like them playing for you, you know. Now, you can't mention anybody they might be playing soon, but, mm-hmm. you know, winners are winners, like, they know how to win, and you love to see that. Like, you like to see that type of obsession, but, like, there's a lot of shepherd and there's a lot of sheep. Very hard to become one, you know. Not everybody's built that way, like, and not everybody thinks the same way, and you just have to sort of try and recognise those things. And it's funny, like, we don't recognise the shepherds much in football, I don't think, anyway.
You mean in terms of players?
Yeah, the players who make teams tick, like, and they don't always get it. Like, sometimes you do, like, Murphy's a good example, like, he's a winner through and through, but he also, you know, he's, like, they're always different just when he's on the pitch. Like, he's just got that type of
presence,
like, you know. And look, you're lucky when you have a player who's, like, putting the ball over the bar like he can, like, in that sort of point. Like, normally they're more subtle than that, you know, in terms of, like as I say, Maher, like, you know, in Galway. Or,
you got plenty in Armagh.
Yeah, and Joe Connor, like, in Kerry, like, he's been a phenomenal year, like, and you see the work ethic that they're putting in. And look, everybody knows that that's a big thing with me. Like, you know, you play for the team first, and, like, but you have players the whole time. Like, did you notice that you love seeing, like, McGonagall, like, from Donegal, would be that type of player. Like, and he's a big,
you notice when he's not there.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's big and he's strong, but he's a hell of a player.
Heartbreak. Yeah. Just like, I might ask you about the new rules again later on, but the new rules are going to suit smart footballers. Like, football will always suit the smartest footballers. Rory Grugan's a fella who is just constantly delivering free. And I know you're talking about Shepherds there. Surely he's one for you that just makes things tick.
Yeah, Rory's been an exceptional player for us, you know, for this last number of years. Like, but basically, ever since
he's been with you on that journey all the time, himself and Forker. And
he took a year, was it the first or second year? I think it was the second year he went to America, like, to play that summer. But no, he's, like, but he was a wee waif back then. Like,
did you know he had it?
He always had it. But some players just have that, like, in them, like, as I say, like, you know, and they're not sometimes, as I say, like the Canavans and the McHughes, like, they're the smaller type of players that people just nearly almost ignore their peril, like, and the next thing they're just able to dictate things. Like, you know, we'd like to think we have a few of them, like every sort of team does, but no, Rory's been an exception. But, like, the biggest thing about Rory is his work ethic, like, his attention to detail, all of that stuff. Like, and, you know, he could go out and lose the final and things mightn't go his way, but he'll still try and do his best for the team. And, you know, I suppose you find the measure of a man when things are going against him rather than when everything's falling for them. Like, and that's where Rory's always been at his best. When other people think he's been at his worst, I've seen different things. Like, so, you know, because if everything's going against you and you can still do one good thing, it says a lot about you. Like,
yeah. Things are different now. You're the hunted. You're the All-Ireland champions. Are you now, right now, in the midst of defending your All-Ireland title or pursuing an Ulster title?
It probably depends who you ask in the panel. People would want one more than the other. As for hunted, I suppose we've always felt that way. We probably get a wee bit more PR than we deserve over the years.
Do you mean bad PR? Good PR?
I would sort of say, like, everybody would have an opinion on us. Like, you know, like, we talked about, like, even when you're sitting at the top table, like, you know, like, you know, like, they're bad because, like, they're not winning. Like, but as I pointed out before, like, we don't have that history of, you know, let's be honest, like, it's been Dublin, it's been Cork, Kerry, it's been Galway Mayo for 140 years. Like, people say, no, it hasn't, but, like, Kerry and Dublin have competed in 80% of our finals and won 50% of them between two teams. Like, you know, it's not a level playing field.
Is a little bit of that noise, though, like, down to you? I remember listening to a piece you did with Oisín McConville and Thomas Niblock back in the summer of 21, and you were asked, can Armagh win in All-Ireland? And how many Ulster wins did you, like, matches had you won up to that point? And you gave a brilliant answer about, and you said it was your personal opinion, that if the lads reached their potential, I'm not sure anyone else could see it at that time, but you spoke about the difference between belief and confidence.
Yeah, belief is what they call it, like, it's hard-worked, you know, confidence is a veneer, it's easily cracked. Like, you know, it has to be, you have to be able to deal with hard knocks, you have to be able to get that, like, and some managers out there, like, are obviously much better at it than me, like, they can do it sort of quicker. But you're always sort of trying to push that out. But it's not an easy thing. But again, like, I suppose I went through it as a player. Like, I remember starting, like, everybody laughed at us and said we weren't going to do it. And then, like, when you did win it, you won in a row. And history then tells a different story. Like, but
you obviously were the hunted after winning in 02.
Yeah,
and, you know, you, like, is it kind of dismissed how close you were to getting back? Does it matter that you were close? What rankles with you from that? Like, you got to,
I wouldn't say anything rankles. It just comes down to opinion. Like, and what I've noticed over the years, personalities plays a big part in it. I just have to get a better one.
Some PR manager has told you to roll out that line, because I've heard you say it a few times and I don't think you believe it.
I do. I actually do. I'm not.
Is that why you have Donaghy and Gilligan, yeah, around you?
Well, like, Kieran's a wee bit better at it than sort of
playing the game.
And I wouldn't say playing the game. Kieran's an extremely smart coach, but like, that's his character. Like, he's not fake. Kieran's just, you know, my wife was very like that more. She's from Kerry. I slagged the Kerry ones. Like I said, there's only people who can call you a moron and make you feel good about yourself at the same time. Like, they've just got that, they've got that lilt or whatever it is, like the gift of the gab. Connacht is along those lines too. Like, he's very, like, full of energy. Like, Berkey's probably a wee bit more like me, but an extremely intelligent coach and, like, very good at what he does. And yeah, then Kieran McKinney has done an unbelievable job with our keepers over the last number of years. But listen, you can go into it again. Like, you look what McGuinness has done, like, the only time he's been there. You look what Gavin has done. You look what Gilroy did and how he changed Dublin around. Like, and then everybody told Desi, like, it was a poison chalice, and what he did. And so, like, you know, there's a lot of good people out there and good at what they sort of do. And, you know, it's, but every county is different. Like, there's almost point in saying, but we still maintain this thing, like, that we have a geographical idea of what makes a good player, as if there's no good players in some of the lower divisions. And yet, like, if you play them one on one, and I seen that, like, in the Aussie rules and interprovincial things, so, oh, put your lights out, like, you know. But we just still have this thing, like, oh, you play for a strong club, you're a brilliant footballer. Those who play for a weak club are not brilliant footballers because they haven't won. What have you won? As if that makes you good or bad at what you do. The team is different. I understand that point, but, like, some of the best footballers I've ever played with and against, like hadn't won too much, like, you know.
Anyone stand up?
There's loads over the years. You know, you actually forget some of the names. Like, you remember going into international route?
Yeah.
Like, I know. Like, I always felt international rules was a good leveler for people, because, like, people said, oh, you had to be aggressive, but you didn't. Like, you know, some of the stuff, like, again, like, you go back to the Canavans or, like, Trevor Giles, like, you know, people that era, like, they were all still very good at it.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Sean Boylan. Like, Sean Boylan always had a really good smattering of junior intermediate players.
Sean's,
he was looking for the person, I think.
Yeah, Sean's an exceptional human being, like, just full stop. But been very friendly with Sean over the years. He's helped me on a number of occasions, like, before the All-Ireland final. I damaged the bone of my hand, like, I couldn't even catch the ball, and Joe sent me down to him, like, and that's how I got to know Sean. Like, and I thought
that was in 2002.
Yeah, I thought I was going to need an injection to play, and, you know, back then, like, you know, you were like a pin cushion, like, whatever got you on the pitch. But I didn't, like, and I've been very friendly with him ever since. But an absolute gent, like, still will be there, like, anytime you need, like, a helping hand for advice or anything else, like, you know, nothing really like him.
There certainly is not. Last one before we move on to a quick chat about the Ulster final this coming weekend, and it's a fairly open-ended question, I feel kind of bad asking it, but you might have something for me. What is the most important thing you've learned as a manager?
it's not about me, like, it's about them. That's ultimately, like, and you're trying to convince them that too, like, because sometimes, you know, when you can pass the buck, you know, it's easy, because, you know, if everybody's telling you, you know, it's my fault that maybe you're not paying. Well, I'm not saying that, like, you know, I'm not absolving myself, because, as I said, I facilitate that. But the biggest thing is to try and get belief in the players and let them sing their own song. Like, you know, it's despite, like, as I say, our reputation, like, you know, over the years, was the same in Kildare. Like, we were defensive, even though we were one of the highest scoring teams at that time. And attack wise, I still think Armagh's been, you know, in the top one, you know, like, in the top group, like, in terms of trying to attack and everybody. But doesn't you get the name for an early riser and sleep the dawn? So sometimes it's hard to break that sort of down, like, but, you know.
Surely last July goes a long way to doing that, no? Or do you move on from that very quickly?
That's not true. Like, one of the things I said last year was, as a player, you know, I wouldn't say they didn't enjoy it, but I just wanted to make sure the players, like, enjoyed it as much as they could, like, for those few weeks before they were back to the clubs. But, you know, we paid the price for it. Like, you're going back because, you know, like, the clubs get them after 3 or 4 weeks celebrating and they're in bits, and the next thing, they've knocks and bangs, and, like, you know, they pay for their club, like, that's where they're from, and that's, you know, who they belong to, like, ultimately. And a lot of them, like, just went through the pain barriers, and then you're coming back, like, like, 3/4 of them are injured, and you're trying to get them back, you know, in one piece. So, like, Julie and Maura trying to get them back, and Sheehan and Barnby, like, so it's been a long year in that, like, and we're starting to see some of them coming back now. But the new rules have probably lent themselves a wee bit to that, because the game itself, like, it, like, changes pace quite considerably, like, at different times. So, you know, everybody's suffering with that. We're not the only ones.
Yeah, no, for sure. This weekend then, Clonus. There was 2 semi-finals in Clonus last weekend. It's a good thing the other finals in Clonus.
Yeah, look, Justin, to be honest, I know, again, people have sort of things I don't really mind.
Mm.
Like, there's pluses to playing at Croke Park, because you're going to be playing there if you want to succeed this year. So it's good to get a game. Clones is a great pitch. I think it's a metre wider than Croke Park. Like, it's a beautiful pitch to play on. It's the home of Ulster football. But a lot of, you know, good days there myself. Like, you know, and some tough ones too. But
yes,
it's a brilliant place. Like, there's a huge, I suppose, feel to it. Like, an Ulster final day.
Yeah.
You know, trying to get into it, like, in itself is a
Arctic carrier walk a few miles.
Yeah, like,
yes,
parking in the middle of the road and plough on. So yeah, like, listen, it's about, like, I suppose, the whole day. It's an Ulster final, like, and we'll be doing our best to go out and give it our best shot, like.
Yeah, yeah, like, it's a hurdle that's you've fallen short on in ridiculous fashion twice. Jim McGuinness has openly spoken about how important Ulster is and the stepping stones to where he wants the Donegal team to get to. Is it the same for you, or do you see the approach a different way?
Yeah, I probably have a different sort of look on it. I just think the goalposts have changed in Gaelic football over the last 10 years, and it's not that you wouldn't want to. I treasure each one of my Ulster medals, like, and it was what they were hard fought for, and it's no different now, like, but I still think we're getting rid of the best system we've ever had, like, in the Super 16s. You know, I still can't believe that, like, 95%, but, you know, I've openly said it's a cost thing. And
cost is one thing, yeah.
No, it's...
Well, I wonder, is it cost in people's pockets too? You know, with the amount of games that people are probably getting to as well.
Yeah, but... You said 20 years ago is we don't have enough games. And now we're saying it's too many. And we're sort of saying we want a split season. Now we're saying we don't. Like, it's too long. Like, you know, it's... As I said at the beginning, it's like the weather. We're always going to give out about it. But I still think it was the best system. It was the best system, both in the Tarleton Cup and with the Sam Maguire, that, like, each team is getting 3 or 4 games in the championship, like, so.
It's I know we're catching up here 10 days out. The draw for All Ireland has just been made for the group stages, and the losers at the weekend end up in a group of dead of sorts. But it's the Connacht winners, it's the Dubs, it's Derry, and the round 3 game will be in Croke Park against the Dubs for whoever loses Ulster this weekend. Does that factor into the conversation at all? Or does that, like, obviously, does it matter? Like, that seems like a silly question, like.
Yeah.
You can't be looking beyond this Sunday. Saturday.
No, you can't. But, you know, the Super 16s is, I suppose, where everybody wants to be. Like, in the group of death, like, it always seems to be the same. Like, Derry, Galway, ourselves, and, like,
always.
You know, so, to throw the Dubs in, sure, why not?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's... it's hard to believe they're going in as, like, you know, third seed, like, even after the league they've had, like, but I suppose that's the way it is. But listen, I haven't seen a game in it, as you would say, is easy. You know, like, everybody seems to be getting better, and that's my point about those games. Like, when you have three or four games to say, like, and people say lack of jeopardy, but the only people I ever hear saying that is people who aren't playing. So
you feel it when you're out there.
Oh. Because, like, you name me, like, one group that wasn't coming down. Like I say, I think we had it last year for the first time. They wasn't coming down to the last game, to the last actually score. And a lot of them, like, we had some clinkers, like.
Yeah, I tell you, a lot of people last year, it's probably the way it fell, were probably pointing out the fact that two counties got through without winning a game into the knockout stages.
This is the same that happened, like, a Champions League and other things. Like,
they've gone to that format now, yeah.
It's over there.
Yeah.
Again, these are opinions, and I'd be at pains to point out, because normally when I hit the headlines, everybody makes it look as if, I would hate to think, like, I've seen other columnists over the years, like, who think their opinions are facts. I definitely wouldn't like to put myself in that. Like, I know they're biased, like, I know they're mine, like, based on the path that I've walked to this date. Yeah. Like, so, and that's all they are. Like, I've had some experience within both, like, where I think a lot of people that, like, talk about them don't have those experiences. They're making huge assumptions. So,
and you've always been forthright with your opinions, and sometimes I'm sure you've held them back. When it comes to the new rules and all the games that you're playing, there was probably a spell there where the only people we were hearing from were the managers, and that did it irk you a bit, because it was
You take that, like, it's sort of, they were like, all these managers have to stop listening to, stop asking questions. Like, we definitely don't ring you to ask questions. So, but, like, it's part of our job, like, because no matter what you do, like, again, like, even at the weekend, like, you know, I've had my frustration by not talking about the referee, yeah. But, you know, like, every headline, like, as you know, is going to be, like, that's the game. Like, I understand reporters have to sell newspapers, like, they have to sell articles, like, and nobody's going to pick up an article going, oh, you know, Kieran, like, you know, it was an interesting conversation, or a bad fella, you know. Like, it's better to turn or twist things, and, like, I've seen things over the years, like, and people use them in changing rooms and dressing rooms, and I have no doubt that this is going to be the same. Like, and you just, as I said, I'm here for a reason. As you know from your experience, texting me and asking me if I want to do something, like, doesn't usually end, it's usually the same sentence, just want to keep my head down, say very little.
And, understood.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I do believe this project is important.
Yeah.
I believe it's important for the future of Armagh. I believe it's important for Armagh people and South, and where it is, like, you know, it's just important. Like, you know, things have moved on in the North, and there's a lot more, like, openness. I know there's still bits and pieces going on, but I just think, like, you know, when we have a chance here to build something strong and into the future for our players, and again, I go back to the Aishan Connollys, the Gareth Murphys, the Darren McMullins, the Tomás McCormicks. When I started off, they were kids, like, you know, and I don't think I've got any older, but when you look at them, and I see Ross McQuillan, Kane McConville, I see all of these fellas that played with their father, like, you know, that, like, time is moving on, and, like, even the likes of Rory and Aidan and Soupy and these fellas were coming close to the twilight of their career, like, and, like, what they want to do for the future, like, and I know they want their kids, like, Aidan has two boys, and, like, a Brookie there is the same thing, he has three, and, like, you know, they want, you know, good places for their kids. And,
well, this isn't for the All-Ireland champions, though.
That's for all of us, and it's also something to be proud of, like, and I think that's one of the things about the GAA, like, that we're good at, like, you know, and it gets missed along the way. Like, you go around the clubs now, like, most clubs' facilities are phenomenal, like, you know, our own club up there, like, in Ballymacnab, like, and, like, they have another pitch there, and you see the wee fella going up, like, on a Sunday morning, and, you know, floodlit pitches and stuff like that there, the wall ball and everything happening. My own club, Mullaban, like, they have a fantastic pitch out the back, and they're pushing on with underage and things like that there. So, you see this happening the whole time, and we probably don't give credit where credit. It's tough work. And, you know, like, let's be honest, I'm on here begging, and that's what it is, but it's you know, it's a great prize for sailing this one, like, and it's low odds.
Yeah,
like, my wife slags me, but like,
there's a big interest in these around the country.
Like. Yeah, and, like, you know, more is odd, and I can put, like, why do you not do it? And I says, like, if we buy tickets, we have to put them in the kids' names or somebody else. I says, if I win this thing here, every room in the country, I says, I'll go bananas. Like, I says, so it's a bit like, you know, picking the tickets out of COVID time that we stuck up somebody's sleeve or something.
Yeah.
So it's like my mum or dad would say, well, we can win it, and you just brought it away. Like, so listen, you're just looking at everybody to buy a ticket and things, apart from Kieran McGeaney.
Yeah, no, that's fair, Kieran. So Saturday evening in Clonus, you'd be back at that flag. What's the heart rate like during the during games like that?
It's usually not too bad. Again, for all the referees watching, you do be a pain to point out. There is an emotional attachment. We spoke off camera, but because it's a very poor position to watch the game from. I do believe that's the next step for the GAA is to facilitate people to actually watch the game, because you need to watch it from above. Like even our selectors looking, the likes of Clonus, they're supposed to sit down, but they need to stand up to be able to see some of the game, to make a decent call. The reality is we probably need to see it from a height. And another bonus from that there is then you're not interact. You're emotionally drawn into the game, and that's part of my job not to be. And as I said, I was embarrassed about it. I don't like it. And the poor flag did nothing for me. Funny story now, because the groundsman came in and he was shouting, is McGeady in here? I was sitting on the bench at the time, and he just goes, he says, what about my flag? I said, what do you want to do? And he says, I forgive you, Kieran. It's probably the only thing you've ever kicked straight in Clonus. So, no matter what you do, you're getting it from everybody. But you have to try and take into consideration that they're trying to do their best job. I still believe there's learnings in it from everybody.
Yeah.
But that'll be a whole different story.
Yeah.
Save that for another podcast.
We'll save it for again. But definitely at club level, I found that, and I know we're not talking about it now, but club level, the dissent rules that have been implemented are going to have, I think, a massive impact. And they should have been there already. I think it's been properly implemented now.
But I think it's probably given the confidence to the referees to do it, because, human Deets referees are games, and as I say, if I can stay calm with Deets,
yes,
I can stay calm with anybody who tells me. So he's obviously not putting me under enough pressure.
Yeah.
So, I think the fact that it's given refs confidence to be able to do that, because it's a severe penalty and it can change a game. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that rule. I genuinely don't. It shouldn't happen. Because it's very definitive. As I say, a point knowing about the goalkeeping one, it's not 20 seconds, it is 20 seconds. Yeah. No, it's just what I think it is.
Yeah. So you know you're doubt now again, I think.
I know it hasn't.
No?
No.
No.
It's still an opinion.
Still an opinion. Yeah, that's the trouble with it.
Yeah, but, as I say, going back to the same thing, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. That's what it should do. And
yeah.
People like me just have to...
You were a strong proponent of the solo and go over the years. We're going to see a lot of that this weekend. I actually thought we saw a lot of turnovers in the Tyrone Armagh game. There was a lot of that going on. I don't know whether that was the step through being implemented or not, but it was giving defenders a chance. There's such a history between Armagh and Donegal and Ulster, especially over the last 30 years. You've met so many times, and I've heard Deveny and Avery McGee talking about Hayton coming up against the Armagh team back then as well. How is that? Is that flipped, or are you actually chasing Donegal, given how they turned you over last year? But now you're the All Ireland champions. The narrative here is kind of funny.
Yeah, listen, it's like everything else. They're a great team. They're one of the top teams in the country. There's just no doubts about it. People try to put it back to whether it's me and Jim. I don't play anymore now that it's Jim. Those days are gone. It's nothing to do with it. They can bring it up if people want, but it really hasn't. It's through with this group. And Donegal have, I know they had a bad year, for a year there, but before that, it's where people thought they were in the wilderness. Three or four Ulster championships, did they not? In that period, even when Jim wasn't there, but again, he's brought them back up, and it's not a stretch to say they're probably the top two contenders. I'm not saying it to muddy the waters. If you're going on the bookies odds, we're well below them, and they're basing it on something. So
is that bodies? Is that the fact that you're missing so many of your All Ireland starting team last year?
It's a whole lot of different reasons. I suppose everybody said afterwards, nobody thought we were going to win it again. So maybe that's just the way it is. But in fairness to the boys, they've won it once, and no matter what anybody says, take a talk from Ray to Doomsday. They still can't take that off them.
Kieran McGinney, best of luck in the rest of the season. Best of luck on Saturday in Clonus. And best of luck with the future of Armagh football here in St. Malachy's. You're building something, I think, special for the future generations as well. So that's a big thing. And we'll give the details for that fundraiser one more time and off the ball.
Okay, cheers.
Thank you. Fair play. Thanks, Liam.
To unlock lots more from the OTB GAA feed, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.